His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie I ascended the throne of Ethiopia in November 1930. Now in this year, 1968, Haile Selassie has been in the forefront in mediating the crisis in Biafra. Some of the intervening years have been stormy ones. But there are few statesmen who can retrace a career of more resolute leadership in both internal and world affairs. Few can claim greater unbroken continuity with the past that nevertheless moves methodically into the 20th century. At the same time, few have seen more anguish and defeat than Haile Selassie, of whom biographer Leonard Mosley has written in projected epitaph, "He shaped rather than waited upon events." Just 7 months after he became emperor in 1930, Haile Selassie gave the people of Ethiopia their first written constitution. His plea before the League of Nations in 1936, as his country was ravaged by Mussolini's armies, and his anguished exile during the following years are etched in the memory of the world. When he regained his throne in 1941, his refusal to allow retaliation against the defeated invader was viewed with disbelief. On this day, he said, "I owe thanks unutterable by the mouth of man to the loving God who has enabled me to be present among you. Today is the beginning of a new era in the history of Ethiopia. Since this is so, do not reward evil for evil. Do not commit any act of cruelty like those which the enemy committed against us up to this present time." When the United Nations Charter was drawn up after World War II, His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie was one of its original drafters. In 1963, he established the Organization of African Unity to encourage cooperation among African states and to coordinate their efforts to build a better life for all the peoples of Africa. Constitutional reforms in 1956 guaranteed all the rights of the people of Ethiopia, though the emperor retains much personal power in governing his agricultural nation of 22 million people, all the time seeking to lead his nation toward a fully modern way of life. At 76 years of age, His Imperial Majesty continues to work a 20-hour day with 3 hours for sleep and one devoted to prayer. Emperor Haile Selassie and I talked about many things on that day during the rainy season. You can even hear it thunder once or twice. Our English interpreter for the remainder of the interview is Otto Menker Esaias. Otto, by the way, is the Ethiopian equivalent for Mr. Otto Menker is editor of medium wave programs at Radio Voice of the Gospel, operated at Addis Ababa by the Lutheran World Federation. Imperial Majesty, how does it seem to you the Apostle Paul meant the statement, "Faith works by love"?
የቅዱስ ጳውሎስ ያለው የተሳሳተ ቃል አይደለም።
What St. Paul said here is not a mistaken statement. You all know what St. Paul was and what kind of work he was engaged in before his conversion. Later on, after his conversion, he had faith and love, and if he had not had that, he would not have taught people this in his epistles. Neither love nor faith are separable from each other. An elaboration of this is Paul's exposition in one of his epistles, which speaks of love and faith. Without love, all of our human efforts in the sight of God can be useless. He loved us, and on our behalf, he was given as a ransom, and it was because of love and his love for us that he accomplished the act of love.
Your Imperial Majesty, as a member of the body of Christ, what do you expect of the church?
ቤተ ክርስቲያን የተባለው የቤቱ ህንጻ ብቻ አይደለም።
The church is not merely a building. The church is the faithful fulfillment of the Christian life and its requirements. Thus, as the name applies to the building, so is our heart the church in which God dwells. After our blameless Creator was sent to this world by His Father, then the hearts of all believers became the temple of God. The love of Christ cannot be fathomed by a series of questions and answers, and man's soul, cannot experience deeper enrichment as a result. We believe that man can at all times be bound by his love and grace.
Your Imperial Majesty, as a member of the body of Christ, what do you feel you can contribute to the life of the Church?
All men are endowed with natural responsibility. This responsibility is in turn distributed and delegated to all according to his gift, and it is expected of each one to fulfill his responsibility. This responsibility in turn is to God, and thus, for example, one would start his working by asking God to bless the beginning and thank God for a good ending too. We believe that all people, in all of their responsibilities delegated to them, will begin and finish their work in God's name. I give you a brief answer. If we go on into details, we would have to spend a long time discussing.
It is a magnificent answer, and I'm deeply grateful for it. To turn to another subject, Your Imperial Majesty, are there any passages of the Bible that have become especially meaningful to you?
I have the highest respect for the Bible as a whole. We also recognize the rightful name the Bible bears. We find that in all the periods of the Old Testament, in the time of patriarchs, kings, and prophets, great miracles were done. On the other hand, the New Testament, in which our Lord himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach, is also of high value. Then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, in which the sayings of our Lord are recorded, are pillars for all men on the earth. Therefore, the Bible should not be cut into portions.
Your Imperial Majesty, as a mature Christian, have you a special word for young people of these days?
On this occasion, I address also all those within our empire. Our Christianity is not restricted to a given church, and I stress above all that we do not wish to make distinctions. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on it. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian.
Imperial Majesty, the birthday of our Lord is observed by peoples throughout the world in various ways, I know. And I should like to ask you how you observe the feast of the Nativity of our Lord within your own family and household.
The birth of our Lord is a joyous family event. However, I do not only rejoice with my immediate family, since the whole Ethiopian nation is my family. I say this in the context of Christmas being observed by all churches in Ethiopia. I rejoice on this occasion also because of Jesus Christ being given for us. For he was born in the lowly place and got warmth by animals. This fact encourages us to celebrate it with joy. When I have visited the five large continents, I have not been anywhere where there was not a church. All over the world, I have come to know that the birth of Jesus Christ is celebrated.